All right, so we're going to read a few verses out of Revelation. Always a little bit scary for all involved, so don't think I don't stand up here with a little bit of fear and trepidation myself. Please pray with me. Loving God, we just ask that you open your word to us this morning. By your Spirit, fill us. Clear away all that would distract us from hearing your voice this morning. May what you want to us to hear be heard. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to jump right in. Again, you know, between Monday when you think what you're going to do and the time that you do it, things change. I want to read the first five verses to you real quickly and then go on to 6 through 10. So Revelation 5, 1 through 5. Then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll written on the inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. Then one of the elders said to me, "Don't weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." In this chapter of Revelation that we're in, we come to it at the end of our series on how God saves a people. And in this day and this week, we're supposed to be talking about kind of where God's plan for salvation is heading. Since we're at the end, we're trying to look at what the end of it looks like. And if you notice in these first five verses, that's exactly what the author of Revelation is dealing with as well. Trying to figure out where things are going. Where is God's plan heading? And for him, the way he imagines it is it's the plan is rolled up in this scroll. And the scroll is in God's hand. And he's hoping that someone can come and open up the scroll and they'll be able to lay it out and say, this is what the future holds for God's people. This is what it looks like. And of course, in the scene, he's sad because he's told that there's no one on heaven and earth, above and below. There's no earthly power. There's no prince, president, or king who can open it. There's no principality or power, no demonic force. Nothing can open this scroll. Nothing can open the scroll. It's in God's hand. Only God can open the scroll. But then the elder says to him, "Wait, it's going to be okay. The Lion of the tribe of Judah can open the scroll. He has conquered. He is worthy." And that sets the scene for our next few verses. But try to notice the switch that happens here, though. "Then I saw between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders a lamb, standing as if it had been slaughtered, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who was seated on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sing a new song. 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slaughtered by your blood, and you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth.'" May the Lord grant us hearts and minds to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Did you see what happened there? John and the elder, he's expecting to see this great lion come onto the scene and grab the scroll and go out and devour the evil forces. You know, that's the scene that's set for us. That's what John hears in his ear. But whenever he looks up and what he sees is something different. He sees a lamb in the midst of the throne and the people and everything there. And it's not just a lamb. It's a lamb that is standing there looking as if it has been slaughtered. These are two different images, aren't they? A mighty lion and this lamb. And not just a pretty little lamb, but a lamb that's actually been slaughtered. And if we've been following the story, it's kind of the bait and switch that we're kind of used to. Everybody's expecting this great, powerful figure, the king, the Messiah, the anointed one. That figure is going to come and save everyone and set up the kingdom, and everything's going to be just like we expected it. But every time that expectation comes, you know, the disciples expected that, and Jesus kept telling them, I'm going to go to the cross, I'm going to die. And they couldn't understand it. And when last week when we talked about what the disciples, when they see the resurrected Lord, what the disciples expect, they expect now this resurrected Lord is going to come and sweep away all that would get in their way and set up the kingdom again. And even in this scene that John sees about the future of where things are heading, again, it's not the lion, the roaring lion. It's this lamb that's set in front of them. And what it says to me and what it pulls out from all of this story that we've been talking about is the fact that it is this lamb that ends up being slaughtered because the lamb was ready to be faithful to what God called the lamb to do. The lamb that was obedient to the point even of death to show God's love, God's mercy and forgiveness to the world. This lamb willing to give its life to show God's love is somehow how God's power, God's plan and God's salvation comes into the world. And what it tells us, I think, is that one thing it tells us is that our attempts to grasp power for ourselves, our attempts to be the lion-like figures in our own stories and in our own lives and the lives around us, they don't work out God's plan for salvation. That's not the way that it works out. It's when we act out the lamb story, the slaughtered lamb story, we act out the life and witness that Jesus showed us, that somehow God's power and God's plan for salvation works out through us. It's when we let God be in charge. When, just like God was showed himself to be in charge bringing the people out in the Exodus, just like God was in charge throughout all of the wilderness wandering through providing the bread and the manna and providing water, all these stories, it's always calling people to say, I know that you want to be the roaring lions. I know that that's how you want to be in the world. But that's not how God's love, mercy, and forgiveness, God's salvation for people, that's not how it gets worked out in the world. It gets worked out through your faithfulness to God's forgiveness of others, your faithfulness to being witnesses to God's love, even in the face of persecution and trouble and all the things that John is dealing with in his church. What's amazing, it talks about how Jesus, it says that the lamb's blood ransomed for God people from every nation and tribe and tongue. And you notice it gives you four different words to talk about all the differences there might be in the world. Now, we know that one way that did that is by Jesus' blood, that forgiveness of sins was brought about into this world. But one of the ways that happened is that Jesus allowing himself to be slaughtered for humanity, his blood in that very act, his willingness to go to the cross and not condemn this group or that group. His willingness to enact forgiveness for all people on the cross is part of what allowed all people to be drawn to God and to have this vision at the end of the story of people from every tribe, every nation, every language, every look, every whatever difference you can imagine, come walking into this kingdom where the door and the gate to the city where God reigns is always open. And what it's calling us to, it's calling us to see how God's plan moves forward in the shape of this lamb. Now, I don't want you to be mistaken and think that what that means is you have to be meek lambs lying down and just letting things happen to you. Because did you hear what this lamb looks like? The lamb has been killed, but the lamb is standing. The lamb has been killed, but the lamb has been put back on its feet again, raised from death to life. And the lamb has seven horns, meaning that the lamb has all-encompassing power. For seven is that number of wholeness, right? And the lamb has seven eyes, has complete understanding. The seven spirits that go out into all the world and see and know everything, the lamb is in possession of that. The lamb is standing, even though slain. Resurrected, even though dead. It is a lamb that is not meek and weak, but a lamb that is strong and stands. The way that one commentator talks about it is that it's not that the lion image is wiped away, it's that the lion actually becomes this slaughtered lamb. The lion goes about its life as a lion, acting like a slaughtered lamb. It's a very interesting picture. We don't become just simply meek. We take on God's power through letting go of our lion-like aspirations, our lion-like self-assertions and pride. And when we let that go, when we allow ourselves to give ourselves up, we are able to stand. We are able to take on God's power and let God's love and mercy and all of that flow through us out into the world, to every tribe, nation, and tongue. I don't want to comment on it, but I want to just read you the end of the story, and we'll let it rest there. Let's go to chapter 21 first. We'll just start. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of the Lord is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Amen.